The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Going on, guys? Welcome back to Creeps in the Crypt. As always, I am Eric, and I am joined by
Christian
and Bailey.
So we're dabbling more into true crime coming up. We're on a hot streak for true crime coming up, actually.
Woo.
I think we have a whole month almost of true crime in February.
My favorite.
Strap in.
What is? Yeah.
So romantic.
I know. Let's strap on.
Right. Valentine's Day is right around the corner.
Yep, strap in or strap on. Yeah. Happy Valentine's Day.
I'm going to have so much fun with me.
Me.
And the cats. Yeah.
You know what? I'm not even going to touch that. I'm going to leave that all the fuck alone.
I'll invite my 30 tender dates out to one date. Valentine's Day and see who shows up with the best
like the gift. Fucking bachelorette.
Yes
Can we judge?
Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah. Can we make this like an interactive thing for the show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the Patreon.
Yeah, for like Patreon when we set that up.
Yeah,
like we'll film it now and then like edit it down to where it's digestible.
Perf.
By the time we have Patreon up.
Cool.
Love Creeps that. In the Crypt bachelorette.
Mm.
It's going to be good stuff. But, yeah, before we get into this, guys, make sure you are downloading the episodes. Make sure your auto downloads are turned on if you're on Apple Podcast. And if you're on Spotify or Apple, leave us a review. Tell us what you think. Or if your platform lets you leave reviews, tell us what you think of the show. We highly appreciate that, and it really helps us out. That's kind of how we make metrics on what you guys are into, what you guys like. So, yeah.
If not, we're just guessing.
Yeah, we're just kind of like stabbing in the dark on what you guys want to fucking hear.
Oh, that was a like callback right there. Stabbing in the dark. How did they like this episode?
What the fuck even?
Yeah, I'm stabbing in the dark.
I thought you were doing the ASMR thing I was doing.
Yeah, it's like, all right, yeah, this is what we're doing.
God.
We're saving that for me.
Squish.
Squish.
Just a bunch of fucking stabbing fart noises.
Just a bunch of adults making fart noises into microphones.
Yeah, there you go.
Isn't that what every ASMR is?
Yeah, pretty much.
Just scratching your beard into the microphone.
Oh, that's so gross. Ugh.
Yeah, I don't deal with that.
Give them some.
I am. Tippy taps. No, I'll stop it. I get like anxiety from people.
Why?
I immediately, like, I'm like, I don't want to be friends with you anymore. Like, please, I unfollow you.
You don't like the ASMR?
No, I can't.
Well, you just ruined our whole fucking plan.
No, I'll listen to it if it's you, but...
Oh, great.
Oh, she only likes your ASMR.
Only my ASMR. No,
but yours are funny. The rest of them aren't funny.
True.
ASMR.
Yes. ASMR.
ASMR.
I got ASMR.
Hand me my inhaler.
I got ASMR.
Jesus fucking Christ. It's like fucking the mesothelioma fucking commercials from years ago.
Asbestos.
I got the ASMR.
If you've been recently diagnosed with ASMR, please call our 1-800 number.
We can help.
Yeah, we can help.
All right. Well, guys, like I said, welcome to Creeps in the Crypt. We're going to jump right into this thing because it is going to be quite a lot. We're going to jam two episodes into one for you guys. So, Bailey, without further ado, take it away.
Okay. Adnan Syed, a name that maybe some of you have never heard of.
I know I haven't until today.
Me neither. But
thanks, Sam.
What a tangled web this case is of overturning convictions and reinstating convictions and then some. So buckle up. Adnan's case was made popular by the podcast Serial by Sarah Koenig, who's a former Baltimore Sun reporter. She spent a year investigating Adnan's trial back in 2000. Adnan Masood Syed was born on May 21st, 1981 in Baltimore, Maryland to Shamim and Syed Rahman. He's the middle of three sons. Tanvir is the oldest and Yusuf is the youngest. There isn't much on Adnan's early life or even his family life other than that his parents were conservative Muslims.
Very conservative Muslims.
He was popular and a straight-A student. He was the homecoming king and played varsity football and worked part-time for paramedic service. Just like any other popular guy in high school, he had a girlfriend, 18-year-old Haemin Lee. She was also popular in school. She was Korean-American. She played lacrosse and field hockey. She managed the boys' wrestling team. Principal James Wilson described her as a very warm type of person and well-liked by all the students. She had goals to become an optician and worked at a local lens crafters. However, they kept their relationship a secret from their conservative immigrant families, but the secrecy eventually made Haemin Lee frustrated, which caused problems in their relationship.
This is like a real Romeo and Juliet situation, in a way, because these are people that don't believe you date outside of your, you know, race. That's culture. The best way I can put it. Yeah, culture. That's a better way to put it.
Yeah. So they ended up breaking up, and Haemin Lee started dating a guy from work named Don Kleindienst. On January 13th, 1999, Haemin Lee was reported missing by her family when she didn't come home. She was last seen driving away from the high school in her gray Nissan on her way to pick up her 6-year-old cousin and then head to work at Lens Crafters. Her uncle, Tae-Soo Kim, said, we thought she would come back. Unfortunately, she never made it back home. About a month later, her half-buried body was found at Leakin Park, which was a known dumping ground for murder victims, by a passerby. The ME determined that her cause of death was manual strangulation. Medical examiner.
Yeah.
I didn't.
You didn't? Did you just figure that out? Yeah, or was that in the notes?
It just says ME in the notes.
Okay, so yeah.
The ME.
I knew what ME was.
I didn't. I was like, what?
Did it just click for you like a light bulb?
Well, it says the ME determined that her COD was manual strangulation. So it reads, the ME determined that her COD was manual strangulation.
I mean, I do love me some COD every now and then.
Okay. Call of Duty or yeah. Like what?
Cause of death, but you know.
Right. Got that.
Same
got
thing.
That.
But I will get on the Xbox and play some Call of Duty every from time to time.
Not to be confused with cause of death.
No, that's what it is when I play Call of Duty.
Oh, pew
it's
pew.
It's just a straight up fucking wall of negative kill death ratios.
I die
a lot.
Oh. Okay. I'm
very bad at the game. These 12-year-olds.
I like Fortnite.
I can't play that shit.
I can do decently at it.
You play Fortnite?
Yeah.
I don't build.
You'll have to add me.
Okay.
I'll text you at like 11 o'clock and be like, want to play Fortnite?
She'll do it.
Good.
No, I won't. I'll be dead asleep. I'll have a cat.
I'll be like, bitch, you got to wake up. Go play COD with Bailey. Fortnite with Bailey.
Okay, so an investigation commenced, and at first they thought their murder could be connected to another Woodlawn high schooler named Jada Danita Lambert, who had also been found strangled to death in the woods the year before.
But, so there's a wild strangler on the loose at this high school.
But the Baltimore PD received an anonymous phone call claiming that Heyman's ex-boyfriend, Adnan, had been the one behind her murder. This caller made it seem like Adnan was a scorned lover with a motive to kill Heyman Lee. So police subpoenaed...
Streaks of a setup.
What?
This reeks of a setup.
Oh, yeah. Smells fishy. Smells like cod in here. Anyway.
I fucking hate you.
There's some major cause of death going on.
Well, you know, Lent is fastly approaching, so everybody's brought their fish sandwiches back, so.
What?
Lent.
Lent. That's when Catholics give up meat. Like red meat.
Got it. Yeah. So not the stuff out of your dryer.
Jesus. You poor sheltered child.
As Lake Lint is coming.
Okay.
Doing laundry, man.
Alrighty.
Anyway, so police subpoenaed AT&T for call records and 13 cell site locations. Put a pin in this. The cell towers are important for later on. For Adnan's phone, for them to be able to map out Adnan's whereabouts on the day of the murder. So 13 cell site locations. Two of Adnan's friends, Jennifer Pusateri and Jay Wilds, were also questioned.
Say that first name three times fast.
Jennifer Pusateri, Jennifer Pusateri, Jennifer Pusateri.
It's like Bloody Mary. She's behind you in the mirror.
That's probably going to sound terrible when people listen to that.
Ah, fuck it.
Yeah, sorry for your ears. Hopefully you don't have headphones in. Jennifer... said that she'd gotten a phone call from Jay on the day of Heyman's disappearance from Adnan's phone. Jay tried to deny it at first, but then he told police that he helped Adnan bury Heyman's body and get rid of her car. He said that Adnan was angry that the two had broken up and he murdered her out of revenge. But when the first...
It was like she dishonored his culture or some shit like that.
Interesting. But when he was first questioned, he told police that he went to McDonald's that afternoon, which then changed to a visit to his friend's house during a second interview. It is important to note, at least to Sam, that during the serial investigation...
Goddamn.
That's what you put in the notes.
Dude.
During the serial investigation, Jay Wilds refused to be a part of the process. Maybe a coincidence, maybe not. But he did later agree to be interviewed by The Intercept in 2014 and said that he lied to police because he was scared that Adnan would get him in trouble for dealing drugs. Jay's interview was very disjointed. Several lengthy pauses and odd tapping sounds when he was recounting his movements that day. This alludes to possible coercion by investigators.
This also alludes to drug addicts' testimonies are...
Was he a drug addict? I thought they just smoked.
I mean, look, dude. Have you ever tried to get a story out of a pothead?
Mm-hmm.
About when and where they're at? Like a highly detailed fucking description? It doesn't normally go well. Like...
Valid.
You know, I've talked to enough kids in reggae shows and shit where it's like... Bro, what fucking planet are you even on?
True. As a rave legend, I also have
kind
of test.
So you know what I'm talking about.
I do. Mm-hmm. So during these taps is when Jay seems to recall a key detail or correct a statement or apologize to the people in the room. For example, there's a tap tap and then Jay would say, oh, okay. Susan Simpson, a Washington, D.C. attorney who participated in Serial's investigation of Adnan's case, is the one who pointed out this potential miscarriage of justice years later.
So what they're saying is they coerce this kid. They're like, look, man, if you don't want to fucking get locked up for drugs.
So they're tapping him to let him know to agree. Yeah,
they're basically
them.
Like.
ASMR.
Yeah.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Asthma.
Okay. It's okay, Ripley. There's just sounds.
Aww.
She's like, I don't know what's going on.
Despite Adnan's claims of innocence throughout the entire process and there being no physical evidence to tie him to the crime scene, he was arrested on February 28th, 1999, and charged with her kidnapping and murder. The evidence that was gathered against Adnan was anecdotal and circumstantial at best. The Syeds turned to defense attorney Christina Gutierrez to represent Adnan. Very shortly after hiring her, they realized that there would be problems. The jurors overheard the presiding judge call Christina a liar during a dispute at his bench, and the judge ended up declaring a mistrial for this reason on December 15th, 1999. Despite all that, the Syeds still kept Christina as Adnan's attorney because she had a strong reputation in past cases. During the second trial that began in January 2000, Assistant State's Attorney Kevin Urich said, solely because of hurt pride, he chose to kill. There is nothing here to excuse or explain. He was referring to Adnan finding out that
You all right, bud?
I'm literally having a seizure over
here. Ho Chi Minh City?
I swear. Heyman Lee, so sorry. He was referring to Adnan finding out that Heyman Lee had begun dating a coworker after their split. But some people found that the breakup and then almost immediately dating someone else was very suspicious. Rabia Chaudhry, a childhood friend of Adnan's and author of Adnan's Story, The Search for Truth and Justice After Serial and the co-host of Undisclosed, believed that Adnan only told these details because he wanted to be honest about his romantic life to appeal to those trying to find Heyman's killer, not to be used as motive to kill her. Rabia said, Adnan was just clueless. He was helping the police investigation. He had no idea that he was under suspicion. Heyman Lee's diary was used in court as evidence, and it painted Adnan as possessive and implies that he was unable to get over her and let her go.
Hey, which, you know, high school love can do that to you.
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty cray-cray.
Yeah, it's like, this is the first person that's made me feel this way, yep. And I don't want to let this go.
The chemicals are chemicaling.
Yeah, and then you obsess over it for forever.
Why are you looking at me like that?
And then you, like, marry them and
do podcasts. Yeah, you marry them, shit. Like, 10 years later and then you marry them
and have a podcast and 3 cats and a kid and...
Yeah.
And a house and all that shit.
It's crazy how that happens.
And a plague doctor.
Yes.
Yeah. And an adopted Bailey.
Yes. And then adopted Bailey.
Adopted Bailey.
That
you feed food.
You're kind of like a stray cat.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah. I'm feral as fuck.
That's totally fine. You'll fit right in.
Perfect.
We'll get you your own litter box.
Awesome. Can you put it in the corner up here so I don't have to walk down the stairs again? Thanks. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Love that. I'm going to start tearing up your chairs too.
God damn it.
All right. Anyways, Heyman's mother, Yoon Hwa Kim, delivered a heart-wrenching testimony via an interpreter. She went over her hardships that she went through to immigrate from Korea. Heyman's dad refused to leave Korea, so he stayed back while his family moved to the U.S. But it was necessary to provide her children with a better life and a decent education and a decent future. She also said, I would like to forgive Adnan Syed, but as of now, I just don't know how I could. When I die, my daughter will die with me. As long as I live, my daughter is buried in my heart. Yoon Hwa Kim then had to be escorted out of the courtroom because she nearly collapsed when she left the stand. Unfortunately, the jury believed the scorned lover story that the prosecution presented. And on February 25th, 2000, they found Adnan guilty of murder and sentenced him to life plus 30 years in prison. The court proceedings took 6 weeks, but the jury only deliberated for 2 hours before returning with their guilty verdict. Adnan said, I'll be all right. I have faith in the Lord. I know I didn't kill her. The Lord knows I didn't kill her, after his sentencing. Attorney Charles H. Dorsey replaced Christina Gutierrez after Adnan's conviction went before Judge Wanda K. Heard. to reduce the sentence because, according to Charles, Haman's murder was a crime of passion. He also said that Adnan made a bad decision at this point. Adnan directly addressed Charles and said, "I have maintained my innocence from the beginning." Almost like he was saying, "Dude, help me out here. I didn't do this."
Well, and this, he was also 17 at this time, which is scary. Well, you know, when it all went down, he was 17.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure, he's scared as fuck, too.
Hell yeah, he's about to go to fucking prison
forever.
For life. Yeah, plus 30 years.
Yeah,
in the afterlife.
Makes me laugh on how they fucking do that.
I don't understand. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't quite get it. Like, if you have a stroke or something, they resuscitate you. Do you get an extra 30 years or some shit? Like, I've never quite got that. Oh,
you're alive. Never mind. You're back to your 30
years. I did, in fact, die, so.
The one that cracks me up is, like, 10 consecutive life sentences.
Yeah, like, what?
Like, how do you pull that one off? Like,
I think they do it based on a year.
Yeah, but it's like,
if anybody knows, please, like,
yeah, reach out to creepsinthecrypt@gmail.com and then we'll make a TikTok about it.
Yes, because we in fact do not fucking understand.
Yeah, I don't quite get that one. I took criminal justice, but I quit halfway through, so I didn't get to that part. I did, like, blood spatter analysis. And
yeah, didn't okay, Sam ask so you if you had been a mortician or something?
Yeah, well, I interned at a funeral home, but I'll tell you about that later.
Okay.
But, okay, do you want to hear part of what a life sentence is?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, one life sentence imposes an obligation on the defendant to serve 15 to 25 years in prison until eligibility for parole. So, if they get 10 consecutive years.
Okay.
Okay, let's say they get the max amount, so 10 times 25.
Okay.
There'll be 250. Wait, right?
200. Right, but then why would they not just do a life sentence with no possibility of parole?
Which they've done that. I've seen like 3 life sentences with no possibility of parole.
I think it's the way that they do it based on the crime. It doesn't really give any kind of explanation other than the sentence depends on the gravity of the crime and on the jurisdiction in which the defendant is tried. So it also depends on where you are tried. So, like,
Texas
is like, they have a fucking...
Texas is like, we're just going to kill you.
Yeah, they speed run that shit. They're like, you are pushed to the front.
All I can think of is that movie Let's Go to Prison, where they like inject each other with like sea wasp poison that slows their heart rate down to where they like the doctors think they're dead, and then they get out.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they like fake a big knife fight in the prison yard.
And, is like, that like a true story?
No, it's a comedy. It's fucking great. If you've not seen it, we should watch it.
I have not seen it.
They end up like prison winemakers. They buy a vineyard and make it just like prison toilet wine.
Love that.
It's the funniest goddamn movie I've seen.
Dang, I haven't even heard of it. I want to watch it now.
Yeah, we'll watch it. Cool. For sure. But
basically it says in most states, people serving a life sentence are eligible for parole after 25 years. So a life sentence is technically in most states a 25 year. So that's,
I feel like they just overcomplicate it for fucking reason.
Why?
I
mean, say, like, you have
that don't make no damn sense.
That's what I'm thinking, like, if you fake your death or some shit, if you get a hold of some, like, crazy poison that slows your heart rate down to nothing and they think you're dead, and then you resuscitate, they're like, look, man, I was legally dead.
I served my life sentence down.
They just, like, tally it off. They scratch it off on the inside of their cell. Like,
I just got to do this 5 more times.
That's funny.
It's like a mission for them.
Okay.
Yeah, eventually, they'll quit resuscitating.
Yeah, they're like, honestly, let them go.
Yeah.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should, too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So one of Rabia's points in her book was that the trial was so fraught with mistakes that authorities were blinded by his Muslim faith. She said they weren't able to find evidence that Adnan was a violent boyfriend or that he had a history of being abusive.
He had like no criminal record.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, he was 17. So, and then he didn't also have a history of being abusive. So they had to ply in his religion as a substitute.
And this is pre 9/11, by the way. So this is before like all the anti-Muslim shit ramped up in our society.
Yeah. They had to demonize an entire community by arguing that because Adnan is Muslim, he had the potential to do this. In 2003, Adnan began appealing his case, but his efforts were fruitless. In 2010, he appealed again on behalf of ineffective assistance of counsel, claiming that his attorney at the time, Christina Gutierrez, and later Charles Dorsey, didn't look into an alibi witness that would have placed Adnan miles away from the scene of the crime and quite literally would have saved Adnan's life and reputation. But thankfully, Sarah Koenig did during her investigation. Her name is Asia McLean, and she said that she saw Adnan in the library of the Woodlawn High School during the time of their murder. This testimony at a sworn deposition is what granted Adnan a post-conviction hearing in 2016 that would eventually explore huge blind spots in the original defense team's strategy and witness roster. Her testimony stated that she saw Adnan in the Woodlawn Library at 2:40 p.m., which clearly contradicted Heyman's wrestling team co-manager, who said that Adnan had been talking to Heyman until almost 3 p.m. about joining her at a wrestling match that evening. The Undiscovered podcast found that there was actually no wrestling match that night, meaning that either the co-manager or Asia were mistaken, or worse, one of them lied. Also, inconsistencies with Heyman's autopsy report came to light and did warrant a closer look. The state said that Adnan killed her by 2:36 p.m., loaded her body into the trunk of her car, removed her 4 to 5 hours later to bury her in Lincoln Park around 7 p.m. A lot of you already know where we're going with this. The problem with that timeline is that rigor mortis would have already partially set in by that time, but the report said that lividity was present and fixed on the anterior surface of the body, except in areas exposed to pressure, which basically means that Heyman was face down and stretched out soon after she was murdered, and then her body stayed in that position for at least 8 to 12 hours before partial burial in the park.
Yeah, Christian knows a thing or two about being face down and stretched out.
Face down, ass up.
God. Now, on to the cell tower information. We put a pin in it earlier, and now we're taking the bad boy out. So, for the prosecution...
Tell me it says that in the notes.
It does, in fact.
That's fucking amazing. Yeah. I love you, Sam. You're fucking great.
I love you.
She says, now we're taking that bad boy out. So the prosecution subpoenaed AT&T for their records. The data that AT&T was subpoenaed for was only accurate for specific purposes. Gutierrez failed to understand or catch this during the first trial. It was later found out that she was suffering from health problems and died a few years after the trial. But back to the towers. The cover sheet read, outgoing calls are only reliable for location status. Any incoming calls will not be considered reliable information for location. The two most important phone calls for the prosecution story that allegedly put Adnan at the scene of the crime at 7.09 p.m. and 7.16 p.m. were incorrect because they were incoming calls, which meant that their location was not associated with Leakin Park. This information was included in Christina's file at the time, and she simply failed to act on it.
It's fucked up.
Yeah. Adnan's 2016 retrial approval was upheld years later on March 29th, 2018 by the Maryland Court of Special Appeals. Chief Judge Patrick L. Woodward, who was in support of a new trial for Adnan, wrote that it was logical to assume that Asia's testimony would have raised reasonable doubt in the mind of at least one juror and that it needed to be heard. Judge Martin Welch, who had denied Adnan's 2003 request for a new trial, vacated his conviction and ordered a new trial. Judge Welch added that some questions should have been raised about the cell phone tower evidence by Adnan's original defense team. When Rabia heard that Adnan was going to get a new trial, she was over the moon. She said, I felt the most overwhelming relief imaginable. I was sobbing and hysterical. It took me the rest of the day to become rational. We'd worked for this for so long, and I was terrified that this was our last chance. If the judge had ruled differently, there would have been nothing else we could do. She also said, Sarah and her team created something amazing and beautiful and compelling. The podcast brought Adnan's case to light. Without it, he would have never gotten a new trial.
Crazy about this entire fucking thing is true crime podcasts are having a real world effect on old cases.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Like, internet sleuths are literally doing better work than the cops ever fucking have. Mm-hmm.
They're putting pressure on.
Now, I will never obsess over a case to that level. Yeah. But.
Ow.
You all right?
Yeah, Bartholomew didn't like that.
Was that English?
Sorry. I smacked my head on the plague doctor, in case anybody was wondering.
Mm-hmm. On his staff of death.
Fuck! So if I die within the next
Bailey
few weeks...
Bailey done bonked herself.
I bonked myself with the staff of death. Okay. So... Unfortunately, a year later, the state's highest court rejected the lower court's decision by a 4-3 vote, denying Adnan a retrial. The U.S. Supreme Court denied them a chance to have their appeal heard in November of 2019. But we're not quite done yet. Baltimore City Circuit Court Judge Melissa M. Finn vacated Adnan's conviction on September 19th, 2022, setting him free. Her decision came after prosecutors told the court that they lost faith in Adnan's conviction in light of new evidence and violations in the government turning over evidence. All charges were dropped against Adnan on October 11th, 2022, eliminating the possibility of a retrial. Adnan became a full-time...
You all right over there, bud? I don't even
know what that was.
Bailey's stomach's trying to podcast with us too, apparently.
I'm so sorry.
The chicken parm is talking back.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
It says I'm here.
That's what happens when you mix protein powder with fucking dinner, man.
I'm fine. Anyways. Adnan began a full-time job as a program associate for the Georgetown University's Prison and Justice Initiative in December 2022. One of his roles is providing support for undergraduates called Making an Exoneree, where students seek help to free innocent people in prison by examining their cases and creating documentaries. So some theories that those have followed this case for a while have raised questions about Heyman's boyfriend at the time of her murder, Don Kleindienst. He allegedly expressed romantic interest in one of Heyman's friends while she was still a missing person. Don did, in fact, have an alibi that ruled him out as a suspect. Or did he? He claimed that he was at work, but it was later discovered that the manager of the Lens Crafters that he was working at was his mother. And authorities failed to interview Dawn's coworkers to confirm that he was, in fact, working the day of her murder.
Oh, shit.
Oop. Some wonder if it was the passerby that found her body who did it and wanted to be in the investigation somehow. Alonzo Sellers, Mr. S, said that he was drinking and driving near Leakin Park when he realized he had to use the bathroom. So he walked into the park, which is when he found Heyman's body. But he walked 127 feet into the woods to pee. I mean, I get wanting privacy, but like 127 feet seems like a lot to me while he was drunk.
That's a good distance to walk into the woods when you're hammered.
Yeah. So what do you guys think?
I don't know. Anytime I have to pee, I just like squat next to a car.
I've seen it.
I'm like, the door's open. I'm good.
Got a Gatorade bottle somewhere in there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't even make that.
I think Adnan was set up, but he's supposedly set up for another trial.
But I thought they couldn't retry
him. I thought they said they couldn't retrial him.
Well, apparently...
For what?
The family wants... The family's protesting due to the fact that they weren't able to make it to the trial to be there to give their statements. So they're wanting the retrial thrown out and to do it again.
Damn.
Okay, so well, he went in when he was what, 17?
That was
1989. So he
and he has maintained innocence since.
So he's what, like he's like almost 30, right?
No, he's like older than that, dude.
I was born in 98 and he was 17. I'm 26.
He's over 40.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
That sucks.
Wow. Yeah. That's a long time in prison to really, like, let that set in. He always maintained his innocence.
Especially if he really didn't do it, like, that fucking blows.
Yeah, dude. Like, the fact that he's set in prison innocent, if he is innocent, truly... Which I'm sure we'll find out.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But this case is like blown up in the last year. Especially with like podcasts covering it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're late to the party on this thing. Like we're real late to the
shocking.
party.
I like to be fashionably late.
Yeah.
Half the people have already come, gone, and left.
Like, you know. Only important people say.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We're helping clean up the party.
We're fashionably late.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think he was set up.
But I also don't feel like, you know, just based on at least what I know about it, like, I don't see a ton of evidence for anybody else. So it's like...
The friend changing his story several times.
Yeah.
Does not help this dude's case.
What's his name? Jay Wilds?
Yeah, Jay Wilds. That's wild, man.
Damn, that's wild. Damn, this case is wild.
The fact that he was clearly... There was some type of coercion there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Plus, we watched, like, a little video, but, like, from that little video, like, they were saying that they were basically just driving around smoking weed all day. So, like, who the fuck knows?
You can't really take the fucking testimony of a drug addict.
Stony baloney.
Yeah. Too serious. Because it's like...
Did it happen? Did it not happen?
Yeah, they could easily see... The power of suggestion is crazy, you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
So... I don't know. I think this dude's probably innocent and he got set the fuck up. Like, either by the police or his friends. Or his acquaintances. I wouldn't call them friends, but...
Not very friendly.
What do you guys think?
I'm just gonna go ahead and say that the way that the case was handled and they didn't, like, divulge into any of the cell phone records, like, that just... I think that just, like, speaks to the time... Like, because it was, like, 1999, they're not going to be like, oh, cell phone towers. Like, is it 5G or is it not 5G? Like, they're not going to really divulge into that hard. And they probably should have. It just, like, goes into, like, later cases, like, from, like, the 70s and 60s when they didn't do DNA testing. And they were like, I don't know. The dust says that it's right.
Yeah, well, we got a partial print.
Yeah, we got a partial print. Enough. The partial print says it's good enough. So, well,
at that point,
it's all guesswork. I really feel like any kind of investigation, if it's not really, because they're dealing
with. Well, your job is to make the picture look as whole as possible.
And times that by, like, hundreds of pictures that you're trying to fit together. And but then when you have a podcast that, or, like, any kind of outlet of something, somebody's talking about that specific thing and they're zeroing in on it, they're going to notice those details that aren't noticed by somebody that has hundreds of cases to get through. And not to say they don't care, but they're just kind of like, I'm just trying to turn to burn.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to wrap it up. Like, there's pressure from the public. That's what I
feel like happened. He was just like a turn and burn in it, and just like he had. I feel like
that's part of the problem with police work. More so back in the day, like the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
Than current, but it's about, hey, we got a bunch of fucking files piling up on our desk. We need to get through as many of these as fucking possible. Apply Occam's razor to it. The easiest answer is normally the correct answer. And that's not always the case.
Yeah.
So, but that's this week's episode, guys.
That's Adnan.
That's Adnan. And we'll follow the case and see what happens, and we'll maybe do an update. But, yeah. Christian, do your thing.
With Adnan, this is the end. We appreciate you guys so, so much. Thank you for the listens, the follows, the downloads. Keep them up. Keeps us happy. Make sure you guys are commenting. We love reading them. We love hearing about what things that you guys want us to represent. I mean, like, we plan these episodes, but sometimes, like, we need some help finding out things that you guys want to hear. If we just, like, post fucking about dead unicorns, like, if you don't want to hear about it and you want to hear about something else,
fucking
tell us about it. So, suggestions are always welcome. So, hey,
what's your dead unicorn? Let us know.
Make sure you guys are following us on the socials, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Creeps in the Crypt. If you want to find us on TikTok, it's Creeps in the Crypt Pod. Bailey is running it, so we're so happy to have that. She's getting to it.
I'm getting there. Fun fact, our podcast was marked as our TikTok was marked as being like a children's account or some shit. So it's fucking locked. So that's why we have no TikToks yet. I am working on it. It is in my brain.
We should try to get Sam to just figure out a way to hand the one that she has over to
I think you can't unlink it, though. That's the problem. I think once it's linked to an email, it's like stuck to it.
Creeps in the Crypt Pod too.
Because I made sure not to
I almost feel like that Bailey, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
I'm pretty tech savvy. I can figure it out. I mean, I
gave you the email account, so
I did email them, so I'm gonna have to check the email account.
I didn't see anything new, but
freaking TikTok.
We'll talk about it after this. But yeah, guys, stay tuned. We have some serial killers coming up.
Are you serial?
Super serial. Just in time for Valentine's Day.
Aww.
But yeah. All right, guys. Well, we'll see you next week. Stay creepy.
Stay spooky.
Stay strange.
And I'm just going to say it for Sam. Stay safe.
All right.
Bye, later, guys.